Hi there. Welcome to another episode of the Customer-Led Groove Show, where we discuss and share the best practices and the latest trends in customer marketing, advocacy, and customer-led growth. Today's episode is brought to you by BASE, a pioneer in B2B marketing and the industry's first CLG ecosystem for customer-led marketers, sales, and product professionals. Okay, let's welcome the CLG team and today's guests.
Hi there, Scott Wilder here, and welcome to another episode of Customer-Led Groove. And today we're talking to Michelle Castia from Shopify. So I'm very excited to talk to her about her journey, both in the industry, how she's customer-led, and also just some really interesting stuff Shopify is doing from an organization perspective. So Michelle, hello.
Hello, it's so great to talk to you.
So tell us a little bit about what you've done, what you do, and where you're going.
Oh, that could take us like a little while. So right now I lead education and community at Shopify, and I've been at Shopify since February 2020. So you can imagine starting an e-commerce company just weeks before a pandemic is an interesting time to begin a new career. So that's where I am today. And my job, my role has changed consistently over the last few years as I've been at Shopify, adding scope, moving scope away, moving departments more recently. So it's been an incredible journey so far just at Shopify. Where have I been? So I have worked in education, community, and social media for a very long time. If I told you when I started, you would understand how old I am, so I won't tell you that, but I've been around since I think social media was a baby. I started my career in the world of social and community, I would say, in my job in working at a company called BlackBerry. At the time, it was called Research in Motion. It is now called BlackBerry.
I had a BlackBerry.
I had many. So I worked there and I was actually in their support department. And I worked in customer support, running their community support forums, and started their first Twitter channel for help, BlackBerry Help. And it was very, very early days. And so I slowly moved more in the direction of a social media, but keeping the aspects of community that I loved, the sort of two-way conversation that I loved about community into the world of social media. I think obviously social has changed over the many years and this become a little bit more like just pushing and publishing. But that was certainly not what I loved about the world of social media. And so after BlackBerry, I worked at Hootsuite, where I ran training and education. So it was a great meld of my excitement around social media, but also getting into like, how do we train and bring other people into this world of social media, which was, again, early stages. So that's how I got into education. And I've brought that along through my career into where I am today.
Yeah. So many questions here. So how do you think that starting out in customer support has helped you be more customer focused? And I know it sounds like a kind of an obvious thing because I was talking to customers all day, but I always think that people on the front lines, they're doing it on a daily basis, where sometimes marketers, you know, we have to remind ourselves to talk to customers. We talk about the importance of it, but we tend to sit in our offices, even if they're our home offices, and we forget to talk to customers. So I'm just curious of how that experience has really impacted you.
I think it's a thread that I have kept throughout my career. You know, I was recently at a meeting with some folks from our support department and talking about customer experience. And that got me so excited. I felt like I was in my space. So I think that's something that I have taken from the very beginning of working in support in the customer service world, because you understand the pain points and you can sort of, if you don't talk to our customers, if you don't have an ongoing conversation, you can't understand where they're coming from. You don't understand what they're trying to accomplish, what success looks like for them, how they're going to get value with your product. How do you determine any of that without having talked to the customer? So So just coming from that world where like it is normal and just the day-to-day that you talk to customers has sort of brought me through into the work in working in marketing. But it was the norm. Like you don't even question it. Why wouldn't I talk to a customer?
Oh, that's great. That's great. And so then you moved into training and education and communities along the way as well. That's a big theme that I think is emerging now. It sounds like you were there before most of the folks in terms of thinking holistically about the customer. And now you guys, do you call them customers or what do you call the companies that use your platform?
Merchants, generally.
Merchants,
so
okay.
They're merchants, yeah.
So when you think about merchants, how do you like that whole experience about education and community, how do you guys approach it? And what are some key learnings you can share with us?
Yeah, and one of the reasons that the two pieces of this puzzle are together is if you think about community, why does somebody generally go to a community? It's to learn from other people like themselves. It's to put on their individual role. They're thinking as themselves or thinking about themselves as a part of the brand in which they work or the company that they work. They're coming there with a specific problem or thing that they're trying to learn. And that's why they're going to community in general. So it makes sense that these things are very close together organizationally in my mind. So today my team is merchant education and community, and we work really closely together to make sure that that experience feels like one. So when I get to our community, I can also access education. I can also access events that are potentially learning events or they're potentially networking events. Those things all combine to make one big experience. So the customer, I don't need to question, where am I going to learn or to talk to other people that may know this information that Shopify may not know, right? We're not going to know every nuance of a specific industry, how they want to go after their merchants. How do they want to like build their business? We're not going to know all of that. But if they talk to somebody else like themselves in a similar industry, in a similar geography, we sort of that many-to-many approach expands what we're able to offer from a learning perspective that we're just not going to be able to do at scale.
Awesome.
Does that make sense?
So getting in the weeds a little bit. So what type of educational content do you guys offer? And do you guys create it all yourselves?
So we create a lot of e-learning and video tutorials as part of our academy. We do offer some live webinars as well. Sometimes that's our team doing it. Sometimes it's other organizations across the business, but we've opened up our events platform for basically anyone at Shopify, including our partners. So sometimes we actually lean on partners, i.e. agencies and partners in the ecosystem who are creating apps or themes and that sort of thing to actually create content or webinars for us as well. So sometimes they're the experts. So you can find all of that on our events platform. We also use some of the partners and experts and our merchants, for that matter, to create case studies within our educational content. So it doesn't always have to be us talking and teaching. It can actually be our wider community.
And when you have the merchants create case studies, what kind of guidance do you give them or how do you select them?
Yeah, so we have a little package that we put together that allows for our merchants to understand sort of what we're sort of expecting, what the time frame and how they might do this in a way so it comes off professional if we're doing it remotely. In some cases, we're not doing it remotely. We're bringing camera crew to them. So we do sort of give them a lot of guidance, much in the same way as, you know, if you're doing a podcast and you say to somebody, wear a solid color, we'll give you some sort of guidance on how to do that, sticking within the brand. And then we do a lot of the editing on the back end so that it has, you know, the bumpers and what have you, so that it looks consistent with what we're doing. So that's sort of what we do when we're bringing along someone. How do we look for somebody? Often we're looking for a specific use case. So as an example, we're doing a social media course. We're looking for somebody who is using TikTok from a commerce perspective really well. So we'll look at the case studies that we have of our existing customer base. We'll go out to them and say, hey, we love what you're doing. What do you think about teaching others about what you've learned along the way? And, you know, certainly sometimes someone is like, I'm not comfortable on camera. So I don't have time for that. But other times you get people who are really passionate about the work that they're doing and really interested in, and they love the brand. And so they want to step up. And so we've definitely had some great experiences doing that.
Yeah. Well, I really like the guidelines and guardrails that you provide the merchants. That's really great. And what I've seen companies do as well is they'll have events, you know, say their big summit event or their big conference. And it's a good way of getting a sense of who's comfortable presenting publicly, also looking at the formats they have. Do they connect the dots for the audience in an easy way? Like sometimes you have marketers who like are way out here and it's kind of hard to follow their train of thought. So conferences is another way of doing that as well. On the community side, so you have these merchants in the community, and I would imagine some of them are competitors. How do you handle that? When I was at Google, I managed the part of the AdWords community. We had, this was the long tail of agencies that sold AdWords to small businesses. And it was really interesting. The smaller the agency, the more nice they played in the community sandbox. But as the agency got bigger, they got more competitive and the moderators needed to step in more. So I'm just curious of how you manage that in the community space.
I would say that a lot of our customers are they're individuals that are participating on behalf of their organization. So a lot of them are looking to each other for help and support. So they're not really they don't have their I'm telling secret sauce hat on. They have their, I need to do my job better hat. How can I get that help? We've certainly seen on the larger customers where you're trying to activate more of the C-suite or the VPs, they're not as likely to get on a conversation or in a networking event and share the inner workings of their organization. But at a smaller scale, if you're talking to SMBs or smaller merchants, they're looking for that. And they may only be playing in a specific industry or a specific geography, and they're not really seeing that they're necessarily competing on a global scale. So they're much more willing to help each other. They're part of that community. So I don't think we've seen that kind of I'm going to hold this really close within our communities. We're also trying to do a lot more of smaller group activations within the community. That's a real focus for us. So as an example, we have a group in our community called Thrive, which is related to a education program that we're running out of APAC. So our APAC community manager, Julian Bartram, has started this great program where he has education courses that go along. Those folks are also in a community together. And so they get to know each other both through the act of learning and then through the community. And so certainly some of them could be competitive in nature. They're all in the same region. So they could all, perhaps in some cases they're competing, but they're there to learn. And because of that, that is very active. It's been an incredible experience for that team. And the numbers right now, it's early days of that program, but the numbers and the engagement on that community is fantastic that we've seen.
Well, I like that a lot, that Marketo and HubSpot, we saw that keeping cohorts of students together, I guess a really explicit example would be a study group on the community itself, has been really powerful. And this trend of, everybody wants to have the largest community they can out there, but the power is really in the small groups of like-minded people who can stick together, learn together, and grow together. Are there any other things that you can share with us about community and education and how they work together?
I think it's great. There's the obvious. If we could connect these two things, we can understand more of what our community is saying, what they need. That's obvious. That becomes content that we can create if we understand what our community is looking for. So that's certainly, I think, more of the obvious connection between the two. I think the other piece would be, how do we identify merchants and case studies through our community that then become that yeah. bit of content, right? Through communities that are around, supporting Black entrepreneurs. Can we see where somebody has a specific case study within that Black entrepreneur group that would actually make a wonderful story that we can use within our education, for social media? So we have a lot of different ways that we can when we have active community managers who are talking to these folks every day, who are understanding the challenges that our different merchants across the border. So we're much closer to actually being able to find those case studies, which is hard if you're, 3,000 feet. It might be easier when you're sort of face-to-face with somebody to really understand what they're working on.
One question I often get asked, maybe you can help with this, is how do you work with other parts of your organization, keeping them informed, getting them engaged in your community or education efforts?
Yeah, and that is, at a fast-growing company like Shopify, a huge challenge. We have grown so much since the start of the pandemic. And so you're constantly finding other teams that might benefit from engaging on community. So we're, currently, we launched our groups functionality just a very short time ago. And so now we're actually doing these little roadshows, and the community strategist on my team is going around and she's talking about here, we have this new thing called groups. Let me show you what it could do for you. Let me understand what your objectives are. What are you trying to do as a business? And let's think about how you might use this group functionality. So she's going on roadshows and talking to people. And that's slowly, as you get little case studies, others come up and say, hey, I saw what that product group did. Can you help me do that? So it's definitely a challenge as a company grows to make inroads. Sometimes it's just road showing. Are you talking to everybody all the time? And that's what I spend as a leader of the team. I spend a lot of time just building relationships across the organization, doing what I even call road showing. I think that really helps to get people to really understand what the opportunity is. And then you start to connect the dots, right? Now I can start to say, hey, you know, you should talk to my community team. You should talk to the education team because they're working on a course on this particular piece of the puzzle. You could really help them as a subject matter expert, or the content that we're creating is going to help you do your job.
One thing that stood out from what you just said is how you spend your time. And when I talk to a lot of people about careers, everybody wants to I want to manage big teams. I want to manage big teams. I want to be a VP. I want to be a CMO. But I think that people need to think through if they want to spend 50% of their time just getting alignment in an organization, or if they prefer to be a doer. And doer doesn't sound positive, but do they prefer to be someone who can actually build things? So I think from a career, I don't know if you get the same feeling or you advise it, when you work with people who are earlier in their careers, but I think it's something to think about is if you want to move ahead in your career, do you want to build things, or do you want to spend 50% of your time focusing on alignment, stakeholder engagement, things like that?
So where do you get your energy from? Where do you get motivated? Is it selling a vision and building something great and seeing 3 years down the road? Or, I have people on my team that just, they need to talk to merchants on a regular basis because that's where they get their energy. They want to be talking to the community directly. And so if you pulled somebody that's where they get their energy from, and you put them in a role where they're no longer going to be talking directly to customers on a regular basis, that may not be the happiest spot for them. So you definitely, throughout your career, you learn these little things that you like and that you don't like. I know that I love leading people. I love seeing people grow, change as you work with them. I had an individual who worked for me many years ago in one company, and she came to me and said, I'm not comfortable speaking in front of groups. And so we worked with her for a long time to help her be more comfortable speaking in front of groups and leadership. Fast forward, she actually worked for me again at another company, and her job was to present and teach people. That to me is what I love. And that's what energizes me. So if I lost that, I would be a miserable person. So I love that. You learn along the way.
I love that story. There's nothing more that rewarding, fulfilling, seeing somebody who leans into their fears or their uncertainties and just excels in it.
Yeah.
So what do you see as kind of some of the key emerging trends, either within the Shopify space or in the community education space?
Well, I think for us at Shopify, I mean, we're still trying to build a lot of the things that I think are, I would call, table stakes, and maybe they're not. Maybe I've got I see the work of HubSpot and Salesforce and how they've got that sort of integrated feeling of education and community and certifications, and they all feel really unified. We're still working on building those things. We're still looking at how can we do more to get education front and center within a product, as an example. So I think if I look at that, we're still building. Because we've been, our team has been around in the way that it in merchant education and community as one team is 2021. So we're babies when it comes to this. So we're still doing a lot of that. Overall, I think a lot of organizations are going to move to where there is a much more heavy focus. As we go into a recession, as SaaS companies mature, education community is going to become more important to keep our customers, to ensure that they stay throughout a recessionary period, whether or not they're dealing with their own internal challenges or they're looking to cut costs or what have you. We need to make sure that we retain our customers. So I do think that over the next little while, however long this economic situation continues, this is going to be very important. That means putting more emphasis on this organizationally. So as an example, my team was previously part of marketing. We are now part of an enablement team. So that says to me, we are putting a focus on this work because this work is now a consolidated piece of the organization.
I love that. And it's really fascinating that you guys are part of enablement. I think that's a very leading move by the company. I don't see a lot of companies doing that. So that's great. One question I always like to ask is who or what has influenced your career the most?
Yeah, I think there's leaders that I have worked with over my career, the good and the bad. So I'm not going to name names.
You can name the good. You don't have to name the bad.
I think the good. So I have had great leaders throughout many of my careers. And I like just the ones that teach you. I had my old leader at BlackBerry taught me that you have to work within the sphere of your control. And that was really meaningful to me because I used to try to like help and support and change things that I couldn't, and it would get to me and frustrate me. And now today I go, okay, can I impact this? Can I control this? And if I cannot, why am I letting it frustrate me or upset me? So that was something that really impacted my career and how I look at things from a much more positive perspective. And I think that's so important. If we go into, we don't control everything. You don't control, I mean, we're all, there's layoffs everywhere. You don't control that. I've been laid off before. How can you take that and say, well, I couldn't control that, but I can control what I do in reaction to it. So that was really something that resonated with me and I've kept with me.
It's such an important message right now as we're in the summer of 2022. That, you know, there's only so much you can control. And people now, you know, at least in the other day, I said in the technology, it's more in the technology industry, but my sister reminded me it's all over the world that there's layoffs happening now. And like you, you know, I've been laid off too. And I think it's hard when you're in the moment. I used another analogy. It's hard when somebody breaks up with you, but it's hard when you're in the moment and you feel like you can't control things, but just to understand that. So really great, great advice. So where can people find you? You know, if they want to learn more about you, about Shopify.
I'm on LinkedIn, very active there. So definitely that's where I would find me. Feel free to DM me and I'm always willing to chat shop.
That's great.
Or Shopify for that matter.
I like that. Well, thank you, Michelle. This has been a great conversation. I've been taking notes like crazy. So thank you. And so this is Scott Wilder with Customer Led Groove today. And if you're looking to hear any future podcasts or videocasts, you can find us on YouTube, Spotify, and then Apple, Google, etc. You can always find me on LinkedIn or at the Basecamp at Base. And Michelle, thank you again for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you again for joining Customer Led Groove. Remember, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and on the CLG campus. Feel free to rate us, follow us, and leave a comment on any of those platforms. We hope to see you again soon when we're back in the Customer Led Groove.